Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It is Oscar Day. Just to let you know that, you know, we could start out talking politics, but I don't feel like doing that. Everybody else has done it, right? Like, what am I going to say that you haven't already heard? Did you hear Trump thinks that 25 million illegal aliens voted for him? I think he's right. By the way, if you think that 3 to 5 million people voted illegally, you're fooling yourself. And don't send me some link to some weird, wacky website that nobody's ever, therepublicstandsforyou.net, because .com's gone. Like, don't send me that, all right? It didn't happen. He's president. Get over it, all right? You're president already. Let's talk fun stuff. Movies. I like movies. I love movies. I've seen none of these movies. That's the way it works with the Oscars, is I've seen. And by the way, I think if you haven't seen, like, a ton of these movies, you shouldn't vote for it, right? I think that's fair. To me, I think it's fair. Because too many of these people vote for stuff and like, well, I've really never seen the movie. It's like, what? That's like, that's the way we do our, that's how we do our movie reviews. We watch the trailer and then we read some of the synopsis and I tell you about the movie, right? Every once in a while I get to a movie, but it's nothing that anybody wants to see. Well, I mean, the phrase that it's what everybody wants to see. It's nothing that anybody really raves about. So we've got the movies here. We'll bust them down for you from top to bottom, but let's take a little sound sample of what these movies are.
Hey, Pop, Can I ask you a question? How come you ain't never liked me?
Like you? What law is there say I got to like you?
None.
All right, then. Don't you eat every day? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't you eat every day?
Yeah.
As long as you're in my house, you put a sir on the end of it when you talk to me.
Yes, sir.
You eat every day.
Yes, sir.
Got a roof over your head.
Yes, sir.
Got clothes on your back.
Yes, sir.
Why you think that is?
Because of you.
Hell, I know it's because of me.
Like the day they arrived.
What might be called first contact. The objects measure at least.
I'm Colonel G.T. Webber from Army Intelligence.
If you could take one guy to an island with you and you knew you'd be safe because he was the best man, he was going to keep you happy, if it was between me and your father, who would you take?
My daddy.
I didn't think it was
a big bang. It's too big.
That's what she said.
Now they can foreclose on Friday. So come hell or high water, get the money to the bank on Thursday.
And then you are free.
Let's start with where you're from.
Calcutta.
Which part?
I'm adopted. I'm not really...
The bad part.
I'm starting to remember.
I always dreamed about being a doctor, but didn't get much school. I can't stay here while all them go fight for me.
What, you figure this war is just going to fit in with your ideas?
While everybody else is taking life, I'm going to be saving it. And that's going to be my way to serve.
At some point, you got to decide for yourself who you're going to be. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
That right there was La La Land. It was nominated for 14. That ties to Titanic. Which a movie I did see that was actually in the theaters because I was young enough to be dating at the time. And you go to a chick flick, right? And that was one of those chick flicks where you go watch it and you're like, well, I hope when the ship breaks up that it's awesome. And it did not disappoint, by the way. It did not disappoint. Oh, yeah, indeed. Just letting you guys know that. So here are the nominees for Best Picture. Arrival. Didn't see. Fences, didn't see. Hacksaw Ridge, didn't see. Hell or High Water, didn't see. Hidden Figures, want to see. Probably will see, but didn't. La La Land, didn't see. Lion, nope. Manchester by the Sea, after the rave reviews from Mr. Producer Anthony that said, after I watched it, I wanted to go home and slip my wrist. I'm going to pass on that one. And Moonlight, have no idea what that is. Zero idea what that movie is. But apparently a lot of people like it. La La Land's going to win everything, just to let you guys know that. La La Land is going to win everything. This is a movie for L.A., made for people who live in L.A., and only people in L.A. actually get it. And I have no desire to see it. And it's a musical, because, again, how many times do I have to tell you? It's just, it's the dumbest thing in the world. Musicals are stupid. All right. That's what I think of musicals. I'm going to say it right now. This right here is the truth. This is Chad's truth. Musicals are stupid. Anytime you break out into song and dance, when there's a moment, when there's a bunch of other people around, and then they all happen to know the choreography of what you are going to do, that is silly. Right? Like, when somebody says horror movies are stupid, I'm like, really? Really? So you're going to go watch La La Land, and at some point in time, everybody on the 405 freeway is going to stop, get out, and dance on the top of their cars? Hell no. I believe there's more of a chance of a 7-foot guy with a hockey mask chasing me down the street than there is of everybody getting out of their car and dancing. But it's going to win everything. Just to let you guys know that. Ryan Gosling is going to win. I think he's going to win Best Actor. You got Gosling, Denzel Washington, Casey Affleck, Viggo Mortensen, Andrew Garfield. And then you got in the women, you got Emma Stone. She's going to win for La La Land. Isabel Humpert. Ruth Negga, Meryl Streep, Natalie Portman, and hey, look who's back in the Best Director category for Hacksaw Ridge. Mel Gibson, huh? No drinks for you, Mel, because we know what happens. You get a little anti-Semitic. Watch out. Mel's had a few pops. He's talking about the Jews. That is wrong, Chad. As far as best, here's the thing, right? So I'm looking through these things, and I'm like, okay, what have I seen any of these things? Well, I'll go to animation, right? Because I have a 6.5-year-old. Jack and I like animation, and it's something we do together. It's one of our guilty pleasures, going to see these things. And if you say, oh, well, that's a musical, shut up. Shut up. It's a tomato, for God's sakes, all right? All right? It's not supposed to be talking anyways. Here are the best, as I'm looking at these things, the best animated features. I have seen 3 of these. Kubo and the Two Strings, it was very artsy. Moana, it was good. I liked it. My Life as a Zucchini, I saw the trailer for it today. It is horrible. That is all. The Red Turtle, never heard of it. I think it's horrible. Zootopia, loved it. You know what was left off? Dory. How you leave Dory off? How you go and leave Dory off? Huh? How you do that? How you leave Dory off? And by the way, how do you leave that horrible rated R movie Sausage Party off? Because it was hilarious. It just because it wasn't meant for 7-year-olds doesn't mean it wasn't worthy. They took a chance. They took a risk. And I think it paid off. I do. Let's see. Here's the best scores, or here's the best songs. Audition, City of Stars, both from La La Land. The Empty Chair, Jim, The James Foley Story. Wow. That sounds horrible. How Far I'll Go, Moana. And this one from the movie Trolls featuring Justin Timberlake. So just imagine. Just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance. Dance, dance, dance. Dance, dance, dance. Dance, dance, dance. Dance, dance, dance. Just dance, dance, dance. Can't stop the feeling. God, I'm horrible. It was great, though, man. All the little kids getting up and dancing when that song came on in Trolls. I love it. It's not going to win. La La Land's going to win that, too. I think that should win. But that was right there. You know what that was? That was the soundtrack to my summer is what that was. What do you guys think of that? Huh? What do you think of those apples? Ha-ha! Solid. So there's your Oscar-worthy performances, of which I was not nominated or saw any of these. I'm very proud of myself. Although I will say, I would like to see maybe 2 of those movies for real. No desire to see any. Phil, how many of those movies have you seen?
That would be none of them.
Fantastic. Again, this is as good as my Hello song from What's Her Name. Hello. I never heard that song all the way through. I feel proud of myself. Like I achieved something. Chad, you're just being mean to art. I'm not. I'm not being mean to art. And by the way, very mixed crowd, very diverse crowd. Huh? Diversity. Got some black people in there. Huh? A little diversity for the Oscars so white. Now it's Oscars so male. Because I guess they got more. I don't know what they got more of. I really don't. Because you have best female, best actor. So I don't know what more that they want. Did you want us to take away some of the males and we'll add more actresses? I'm curious. I don't get I think it was because, oh, the more directors are, you know, not enough directors are women. Whatever. Shut up. Get over it. Get over it. Stop bitching. It's a night where you guys all get to clap and cheer for yourselves, pat each other on the back, pretending that you do something that is so amazing. And as I remind you, Tatum O'Neill, I think, was 10 when she won the Academy Award as the best actress. Name another 10-year-old that's the best at something in the world that's a real job. Curious. Chad, how old was Tatum? Can we look that up?
You're right, but what about Iggy Azalea? Isn't she the hardest working 23-year-old?
No, it wasn't Iggy. It was our girlfriend. What's her name?
Wasn't Ariana Grande?
Yeah, it was Ariana Grande is the hardest working 23-year-old in the history of 23-year-olds. What she really meant to me, she was the hardest working Ariana Grande. That was her. That's what she really meant. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the vehicle that is the Chad Benson Show, 323-538-2423. I do want to see Hidden Figures. I will see Hell or High Water at some point in time. But that's it. The other ones I have zero excitement for. Zero. I saw the Bye Bye Man. I'm like, oh, that looks cool. Right? That's scary. That's funny. That cost $7 million to make, and it wasn't a musical. And it was based on the Slender Man. Trump doing stuff today to piss everybody off. Hello. Also, school choice. It is school choice week. Yes or no to choice? Text me your answer. Are you good with choice when it comes to schooling? 323-538-2423. And by the way, later on, we will have the other award show nominees that were announced today, the Golden Raspberries, the Razzies. These are the movies I did see. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Trump being controversial because he tells everybody he is all about the environment, then signs in a Dakota Access Pipeline and the Keystone XL Pipeline, saying it's going to create 28,000 jobs, construction jobs, good jobs, construction jobs, great jobs for America, America jobs. It's interesting. I don't share the fear that a lot of other people feel with the pipelines, but I also am very realistic in knowing that I don't think it's going to create 28,000 jobs. What I think it'll do is it'll create 28,000 temporary jobs. How many full-time jobs come out of it, I don't know. But, you know, I'm real. You know, I mean, I know that some people say it's only 200 jobs are coming out. No, there'll be more than that. But I don't think it's 28,000 jobs. But he, of course, causes controversy with everything he does causes controversy, right? I mean, that it doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter. Everything he does causes some sort of just him being voted in caused the CDC to cancel climate change like meeting they were going to have. It's because he's here. Why? Well, we don't know what to do with him. We have no idea what to do with him. He's the president. You better figure it out. He's here. He's ready to go. It's interesting. It is. I don't know. Look. The fight, he talks about a lot of the stuff that's going to happen with this and negotiations and the whole nine yard. He's an interesting character. He really is. You know, he really is. And in fact, take a listen to his renegotiating Keystone.
We're going to renegotiate some of the terms. And if they'd like, we'll see if we can get that pipeline built. A lot of jobs, 28,000 jobs. Great construction jobs.
It will create a lot of, again, construction jobs. Now, will they be full-time? No, it's like anything else. You build a house, yeah, it's great, you're working there, but eventually the house is built. They don't tell you, hey, you know what, construction guys, why don't you guys hang out here? Then work that way. So we'll create jobs as the growth goes, but permanent. And it's going to take a while, so you may work on it for a good long time. So he's right in that. He is. And they're going to negotiate. I think he wants to do it in a way where he feels like, you know, if we can go to these people and, you know, he wants to negotiate to make them feel good, which is, you know, it's rather than just we're doing this and you can't stop us. And here comes the feds and the whole nine yards. So we'll see how that works. One of the other things he did today Well, first of all, he suspended the grants for the EPA. He also suspended media blackout from the EPA. It means they can't talk to the media. I don't even know if they can use their Twitter or any of the other stuff. But one of the other things he did, he wants to ramp up the, you know, he said, he goes, you know, we talk about infrastructure. He goes, we got bridges that are crumbling everywhere. Yet by the time the EPA and we do all these environmental studies, it's going to be 5-10 years before we can even start work on these bridges. They need to be worked on now. We need to fast track some of these. And I agree 100%. Where I live, we have an overpass that they wanted to expand a little bit and put an on-ramp and an off-ramp on the other side. So there was going to be 4 instead of 2 the way it was working. It was very bizarre. So the way they were working, they were going to do this. It was supposed to take a few months. $10 million, 3 years later, still fighting over environmental regulations, having to go out there and resample the dirt and this, that, and the other. It's ridiculous. The on-ramp's already there. The off-ramp's already there. They want to add 2 more and expand the overpass. And this is what it's taking. It's not like we tore it down and rebuilt it. We got to do environmental studies. No, you don't. What's going to happen? What's going to happen on the other side of the freeway where that dirt is that is going to cause the environment to go to hell? I'm curious. Please tell me. It shouldn't take that much. And I agree with him. We need a fast tracking of a lot of these infrastructure jobs. People bitch all the time. We have all these infrastructure jobs. We have all this, that, and the other. No. No. What you have is lots of studies, lots more studies, lots of environmental impact stuff, a lot more studies, and a lot of nada going on. So I'm totally up for that. I like it. I do. Again, he's going to be wacky at times, and we'll see what happens. But there's going to be a fight for sure with the Dakota Access Line and the XL Pipeline. But I think he's up for the task, and we will see what happens. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. We also have a Twitter poll up today about choice in school. Are you for choice or against choice? Go there and vote at Chad Benson Show, ChadBensonShow. Currently, 89% say, yes, I support choice, because it is National Choice Week. This be the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What is up, party people? Happy Tuesday, Taco Tuesday. And it's also National, hashtag National Compliment Day. So compliment somebody. Phil, you are an amazing human being.
I was just going to say the same thing about you, Chad.
Aw, man. I feel better about who I am already. It's fantastic. Anthony, you are a godsend to all of us here on the Chad Benson Show. Ah, solid move. Anthony, a.k.a. Eeyore. We love him. It is national, is it school choice, choice school, school? It's National School Choice Week. Maybe if I went to a better school, I would get that right. Have you thought of that? What it means to have choice in school. There's a great article in Reason Magazine talking about school choice and how the Democrats fight school choice everywhere. And they come up with crazy things, right? Like, oh my God, it's what if you want to go to a religious school? There'd be separation of church and state. That seems to be the big one that everybody's fighting about right now. Look, we need to deal with stuff in this country. Our education system is a struggle. It is a struggle, right? It is very much a struggle. And we need to figure it out sooner rather than later. And in the inner city, where choice, I think, matters the most. Because you're living in suburbia. You're probably going to a pretty good school, right? You're probably going to a pretty good school, you know. You're doing all right. You're upper middle class. You're maybe going to a really good public school. Or you're going to a private school. You're rich. You're probably going to a private school. So there's your choice, right? Those are your choices. But in the inner city, where choice really matters, it's so funny. Because when we talk school choice, it's middle class, but also inner city where poverty reigns in a lot of places, right? And they got bad schools in a lot of those places. Not saying the teachers are bad. So, I don't send me 100 texts saying, you're saying teachers are bad? But no, I'm not. What I am saying is a lot of those places are places where teachers go either A, to go for a year or two, get experience, and then transfer to a school they want to work at, or B, they're done, they've given up, or they're being hidden by the next stop for them is that room where you collect your paycheck and you don't do anything. That's the next place for them. These are teachers who just really aren't getting it right. And or don't give a rat's ass. And or just bad teachers. You have those. I know, it's crazy. Because it's one of those professions where it's like, oh, they're sainted. They're teachers. But this isn't about the teachers. This is about choice. This is about choice. And I'm telling you, I'm all for choice. By the way, let's just run through the choices that people have talked about that everybody's afraid of. You got scholarship tax credits, okay? This 14 states have this. Alabama, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Minnesota, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Virginia. All right, you got vouchers. These ones right here, the vouchers to me are the ones that I think everybody hates, right? Because you give out vouchers. And it's traditional. So you got the traditional public school system. So schools receive funding from the state per students. Ah, there it is. They get the funding per student. Under a voucher system, eligible students receive state funding vouchers, which can be spent at whatever eligible private school the parent chooses for their children. Uh-oh. You got vouchers, the common vouchers, and universal vouchers. And they have means-tested vouchers for low-income families, and those constitute the bulk of the vouchers in the U.S. Let me tell you something. The Democrats fight all day, tooth and nail, for kids, right? That's what they say, in education. Yet, if you look at it, they fight for the unions. They pretend they care about the kids, especially in the inner city. But what they do is they want to kill any time there's opportunity to have choice when it comes to school, because they know many of these schools would lose most of their funding because the kids are going to choose to go somewhere else. First and foremost, they're going to look at private schools if they have vouchers. Secondly, they're going to get out of schools just because of the danger in a lot of the areas, right? We forget about that. Even if you've got a somewhat decent school, some of it's not the nicest school in the world, and it's not the nicest area. But when you put a kid in a school that's better, when the achievement records are better, when quite frankly, the rest of the school cares, again, I know what you're going to say. Well, it's, yeah, no, shut up, shut up. It's not about the teachers. I'm just saying, when you give that opportunity to do that, that to me is a way that we start solving a lot of these problems in the inner city, is by giving them choice to get an education in a place where they think it's going to benefit their child. It's insane. One person put it, and I'm paraphrasing here, that the Democrats cheer for having choice to choose whether or not they want to have an abortion. But if a kid's born and a parent wants to have choice on what school they should go to, somehow they're a zealot. I'm sorry. That's BS. And if you're here to tell me that your program and what you're offering the children is the best for the children and is the best that's available, then why are you afraid to have choice? These kids get stuck in these schools. They get stuck in gang-infested schools. And it goes, this is where the circle and the poverty violence continues and goes around and around and around and around. It's the wheel of the same. This is where it happens. It's insane. Why are we even pretending that we should, that this stuff doesn't happen? Like, well, oh, no, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's not good. It's good for the unions. It's good for the Democrats, but it's not good for the children. Choice is an amazing thing. Choice is an amazing, amazing thing. And it's funny how it really put that way. So you can choose whether or not you want to have this baby, But should the baby be born, your choice to put that kid somewhere else, unless you have the means to do it, is taken away from you? If what you're offering is so great, what are you afraid of? If what you're offering is so amazing, what are you afraid of? That should be the question. And I ask it all the time. What are you afraid of? Well, you know, it's a separation of church and state. Because you would want to put somebody in a private. No, no. It's choice. We're not saying so-and-so has to go to, you know, St. Mary's, Augustus, whatever. We're not saying that. We're not saying that. What we're saying is if he or she or mom and dad or dad and dad or mom and mom or whoever or parent or caregiver, if they think this school here, its academics are horrible, it doesn't have the facilities that my child needs to get the best out of his or her learning experience, it is a dangerous place. It is a failing, flailing school that is run down and broken down, and I have a chance to take my child 15, 20 minutes away to a private school and or to a public school that is better than this option, I want to have the choice to do that. Why? Why? If you care so much about the kids and you care so much about the education, what is it? That's my question. Again, if the choice is there, why is it so dangerous? It's because it's funding. It's because it's the unions. It's because they're going to lose their funding because every child in that seat, just like prison, every prisoner is a paycheck. Every child is a paycheck. Every child is funding. And if we lose that funding, well, that's not good. This isn't about the teachers. This is about putting kids in a better situation than what they have now. I don't see the problem with it. The unions will throw crap up there all the time. I don't see the problem with it. I want my son to go to the best. He is at an amazing school right now. An amazing, amazing school right now. It's a STEM school. It's highly academic. He is in it, and his mom had to move there. But we wanted him to go there because we were thinking next year, we were thinking, you know, we're going to probably put him in private school. Not everybody has that choice. And when you look at low income, not just people of color, but just low income in general, they don't have those choices. They're stuck and surrounded by the same old same. And if you really care about getting kids their first start, you know, getting them, you know, you want funding for Head Start programs, but heaven forbid you won't let a kid go across town to another school because that'll upset the apple cart. And that kid isn't really here for the education as far as the union is concerned. It's there for the money. What are you afraid of? That's my question. I think it's a fair question. Why wouldn't you want choice? Don't we all want choice? Like right now, you have got a choice of radio, television, all of that stuff. What if you went home tonight and you're sitting there and you're like, I want to watch TV. Nah, this is the area you live in. This is the channel you get to choose from. Well, no, I don't want to watch this. No, I'm sorry. You can't. This is what you got to do. Oh, you can pay for more channels. But as far as us letting you go do that on your own, no, because we get paid for you watching this. So we're going to keep you captive. You'd be pissed. It's our kids. Why shouldn't we want them to have choice? And when we talk about what's good for people of color and how do we get them out of the situations they're in, this should be one of the number one things. Education should be top of the list. And choice is that education that they need. Give them choice. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Also call the program, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
blah, 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 blah. He's Chad Benson.
You can text the program 323-538-2423, or you can always call the program 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Telling you, people texting in about, well, charter schools, or what about, you know, the separation of church and state? What are you afraid of, right? If your program's the best program, people ain't going anywhere. But if that kid's not getting anything, why should they be captive to that school? Mark, Santa Barbara, what's happening, man?
Hey, man, I saw a show. I think it was about a year ago. Hey, great show, by the way.
Thanks so much.
Just surfing. Anyway, hey, saw firsthand the devastation in these parents and students who couldn't get into a highly successful school with great teachers, a great principal teaching the basics. These parents were absolutely devastated and crying because it basically is a lotto system because you can only handle physically so many kids. And that's what we're talking about. The parents who want to see their kids get out of this trap, succeed, they're there. They want to do it.
They want to do it.
The only thing holding them back, exactly, absolutely.
And you know what, Mark, I appreciate your call. And let me tell you something. The frustration, and I've seen it, right? I mean, I've been fortunate as a kid eventually because I was just so bad, my mom had to put me in public schools because the private schools had stopped taking me even when she did pay them. But the frustration level of these kids and their parents, and you see their parents are going there. They care about the education their kids are getting, and they feel not only are they getting a poor education, they're around a bunch of other people that aren't really good for their kids. They want more for their kids. How do you stop the poverty and violence and the circle of all the stuff you see in a lot of places in the urban world and stuff? How do you do it? What do you do? Well, you got to change the thought process, and you got to put people in situations to succeed. And putting kids in better situations with kids who are there who want to learn as well is going to make it better in the long term for them. What are you afraid of? That is my question. It's like, what are you afraid of? And don't say the separation between church and state. Again, it's choice. You're not forcing somebody to go to Our Lady of, you know, whatever. You're not. You're not forcing somebody to go to Calvary Christian School or to the Christian school, whatever. You're not forcing somebody to go. Yeah, giving them an option. And if that option is, hey, we're going to hyper-focus on education, this is what it is, whether it be a charter school, whether it be a magnet school, whatever it is, and the opportunity's there and that kid can get in there, why shouldn't they go? Why? What is it you're afraid of? That's my question. Look, there are some inner city schools that are amazing, but those are few and far between. The truth is a lot of them are run down. They're broke down. They've got some teachers that are good, but they're wanting to get out of there. And you got a lot of teachers that are there who are on the end of their teaching cycle and or they're there because they're not great teachers. And this is the last rodeo for them. It's dilapidated. It's broke down. The facilities suck. You're not setting a kid up for success. You're setting a kid up for the same thing that kid's seen his entire life or her entire life. Put them in a better situation. Simple, right? It's simple. I don't get it. And if you scream, you care for the kids so much. If you roll out every year in California, we roll out some new tax that we need to vote for because God knows we got to care for these kids, but you don't want to give them choice. Right? And then you find out that money never reaches them. It's a frustration for me. I would hate it if I couldn't. You know, Jack's fortunate. He's got people who care, people who love him, people want him to succeed, and he's fortunate. And we'll do whatever it takes. You see these kids whose parents want to do whatever it takes to get them out of that place? Every year we hear about some poor mom or dad that puts their kid in a school that they're not supposed to in because they use their dad or their grandfather's address and they get arrested and put in jail for trying to get their kid a better education. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The hell is wrong with us? So don't tell me you care. When you fight it all day, Democrats, don't tell me you care. And it's funny. Guess who I hear no from all the time when it comes from Democrats and school choice? It's always middle, upper educated white people. That's what it is. It's never the people that are struggling. It's always uppity white people who've got an education who fight it. BS. It's bunk. It's BS. I'm telling you. Here's something funny. We were laughing about this. Top five brands for the millennials. We were surprised. Number five, Nintendo. That's because of Pokemon, Super Mario Brothers. Four, though, was Apple. That was our big shocker. Not that it's on here, just it's not number one. Three is Netflix. I get it. I get it. I get Netflix. Two is Amazon. I don't get that. I guess they shop there, but I don't get that so much as a brand. And number one is Disney. And we were trying to figure it out. Why would millennials love Disney? But you know what? That's because they grew up with so many cartoons and so many beloved characters. When I'm 40, I'm 46 years old. We only had a few cartoons produced when I was a kid by Disney. You know, there was like, hey, this year we're going to roll out Fantasia. Like, oh, great. That's super. Disney, though, I just find that weird. Of all of the millennials' loves, Disney. Wow. It's crazy, kids. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.